Thanks very much for joining me. I'm Bob Franklin. This is Like It Is. Today, a spotlight on KCSM, the Bay Area's jazz station to the world, produced by Backstage Bay Area.
This is Backstage Bay Area. Now, here's your host, Steve Roby.
Hello, everyone. This is Backstage Bay Area, your all-access pass to the jazz music scene. On the show, we usually sit down with musicians, but today we're spotlighting the Bay Area's jazz lifeline on the radio dial, KCSM FM Jazz 91.1. There's a new documentary called KCSM 60 Years of Broadcasting in Jazz, and it tells the station's story through the voices of its DJs and the fans who keep it swinging. Dr. Robert Franklin, station manager at KCSM, and the film's executive producer, is my guest today. Robert, welcome to Backstage Bay Area.
Thanks very much, Steve, for having me. I'm happy to be here.
I'm so excited to talk about this documentary on radio. I had some upbringing in the Bay Area here and had some experience in radio. So it's nice to see that somebody's doing a documentary about what goes on the airwaves in the Bay Area. All right. Well, let me give our listeners some context. KCSM has broadcast from the College of San Mateo since 1964, beginning as a hands-on training ground for radio and TV before evolving into a full-time jazz service. In the mid-1980s, KCSM leaned hard into straight-ahead jazz, and after K-Jazz was sold in the 90s, the station absorbed a trove of records that deepened an already massive library, often described as one of the largest in jazz radio. Today, it's a non-commercial, listener-supported station with global reach through streaming and apps. Robert, before we roll a few clips from the documentary, let's start at the top. KCSM starts in 1964 on a college campus and grows into the Bay Area's jazz station to the world. What through line do you see from those student-run beginnings to the service KCSM provides now to the community?
Well, you know, Steve, it was a foundational linkage from the past to the present. And amazingly, some of the former students are now program curators. So it was a great indoctrination of something new, something old, and something that was positive for the future. And what that has meant in terms of KCSM and its importance is our curators, former students, they have put together, who are now program curators, they put together some of the most interesting jazz tunes and presentations that you would ever want to hear. I would imagine if you've ever tuned to a jazz ballad during a foggy Bay Area morning or caught a John Coltrane set during a late night drive, you know there's something special that you're hearing that comes through the public airways. And believe you me, it's not just nostalgia. It's not just background music. It's a form of cultural memory and a vital public service that KCSM has been providing, as you referenced, since 1964. We are one of the last full-time radio stations in the country, and we have to credit that foundational linkages from our former students to our current curators who are on air. Also, that vital service is being supported by our listening, loyal public.
That's kind of a rarity these days in radio, where you actually have live DJs with a brain behind the microphone that know what they're playing and have a story to tell with the records they play. Radio has kind of gone the way of automation now, and there's hardly any humans behind their microphone, right?
That's correct. And one of the things that sets KCSM apart, as you just referenced, is the fact that our curators are on air live. And many of our listeners know those particular curators by name and certainly by their particular presentation. Some of those curators have retired, but for the most part, the curators who are presently on air are live, and they really have this connection to the community that is unique, powerful, and is unbreakable.
Mm. So why tell this story as a documentary? What did film let you show that radio can't?
Well, you know, as the expression goes, radio is theater of the mind. Mm. And one of the things that we wanted to share with our listeners was this amazing story that had been going on for 60 plus years. People had been hearing it, but we wanted to put faces with the voices. Mm-hmm. We wanted those voices to be able to tell those particular stories in a manner that they can only describe it. And in terms of presenting the story through film, it really allowed our listeners and viewers to see a side of the station, literally and figuratively, that they hadn't seen before. You hear these powerful voices and these stories that the curators tell, but then they were able to see the individuals in person and to see, put a face with a voice and really see in person this, these particular individuals who, again, make the station go.
Yeah,
they're here in your ears, but you can also see them on the big screen.
All right. Well, you were kind enough to send over a few clips from the documentary before it debuts in the cinema in Alameda. And the first clip we're going to play is called The Art of the Segue, which is something I'm sure some DJs could teach a masterclass on. But Robert, what is The Art of the Segue and what does it mean at KCSM and why does it matter?
Setting up the segue is very important because it helps to inspire the listener, provide an invitation for the listener to listen and as well as continue to listen. It actually establishes this seamless flow that is established in the segue. And one of the things that our announcers or curators do is that they set up the segue in such a way that it keeps you curious and interested about the next piece of music that's coming forward. And I will have to say that we have some of the best curators around on jazz radio, and they really set up the piece very well. And I think you will enjoy this piece of audio that you're about to hear.
Man, that's a dying art. I'm so happy that you still do that. Let's listen to a short clip from the film. This is called The Art of the Segue, and Robert will discuss it further on the other side of the clip.
I try to climb inside the show. I think about artists that I like to play, but then never tunes. And then try to make it work.
It's after putting that first song on and hearing what's happening with the song that allows my brain to kind of open up a little bit and be inspired by what I'm hearing. And sort of like how the musicians react to the soloists and the chord changes when they're soloing on the bandstand, I approach it in the same way.
I learned how to segue from one piece of music to another piece of music using the same key. Sometimes that's fun and interesting, and people go, ooh. I learned that art of the segue is what he used to call it. Pat Henry, who started K-Jazz, he used to do that all the time. Sometimes you want to jar it up a little bit and kind of shake it up, go from a Latin number to a Cuban number to Brazilian music that has the same sort of feel. You really have to know how sound works.
But the whole thing was how you mixed it, how you put them all together so that that sequence sounded like it was a seamless flow of music. One of the things was that you didn't repeat instruments. You didn't have a saxophone follow a saxophone. But the whole idea was to keep people engaged, listening for a longer duration of time.
What I hear are people who are stuck in traffic, and they're like, I really don't mind the traffic because I'm listening to you. Sometimes I'll go to 511, and I will see, oh man, they're not going nowhere on 101 by the airport, and look at Highway 92. I get a real good set in for them, and people are like, I feel like I'm at home. Just listen to the music. Sometimes I forget I'm on the air, and I'll be in a trance. Oh, the music stopped. The music stopped. That's happened more than once. I forgot I was on the air. It's time to talk now.
Well, that's just about a wrap for us for today. Sonny Buxton is my name. Greg Bridges is in the studio with me. We're going to go out with a tune that was composed by little brother Nat Adderley, titled Gains. And love you, Madly. Thank you so much for tuning in today. I understand that we shall continue again next Saturday, so I'm looking forward to that.
You're listening to Backstage Bay Area. That was called The Art of the Segue. It's a clip from the new KCSM film documentary. We're speaking with Robert at KCSM, and he's our guest today on the show. Robert, does a segue reveal about a DJ's ear and the station's philosophy?
Individuality. One of the things that our jazz curators do is they have independence to go in whatever musical direction their heart desires. And one of the things that we never do is set parameters for our particular jazz curators. They have the absolute authority or the responsibility to go in whatever jazz-related relations direction that they want to go into. And it's really that individuality that keeps the program fresh, interesting, mm-hmm. and really keeps our listeners wondering which direction the curator is going to go with the next musical selection. So we want the individuality to always be there. We want the curators to have the creative independence to program his or her program as they see fit.
How do you hear history, style, and storytelling connect in those transitions?
That's a very good question. I think when you hear John Coltrane, you hear Sarah Vaughan, you hear Art Blakey, you hear some of the titans of jazz, and they are actually through their music communicating history of the period that they were performing in. I think in terms of the linkages between the past and the present, those particular well-known artists, you can hear their music and you can kind of set the mood and the tone as a result of listening to their music. Mm-hmm. And really, really on top of that, the curator, our announcer, is filling in each of those particular places, stories about that particular time frame, the challenges of that particular time frame. And because we have some of the best curators around with the history and the background of jazz, mm-hmm. they fit those particular stories beautifully mm-hmm. in there, which combines history, music, and education all together.
Well, let's talk about programming freedom and your massive library of audio. How much freedom do KCSM announcers have with their playlists? I know when I worked in radio, there was this red phone that, you know, would light up. The program manager would, like, you know, be upset about something that played, didn't get played or got played or was said there. Are there any guardrails that you set up there?
Actually, no. Our curators, they have total freedom to really experiment. Let's look at the library. Let's imagine the library is this huge laboratory that it's an inanimate object, and we have a live person coming into that inanimate space, pulling items and creating something that's alive when it's placed on the air. The library is extensive. One of our curators said that you could pull so many selections that you would never, ever duplicate anything on air. It is so massive that the opportunity to just experiment, to create, to be able to produce content that's not heard is one of the innovative features of our station and our announcers who present those innovative programming strategies each time they take the airwaves. Mm.
Since KCSM incorporated a large chunk of the K-Jazz collection, how has that archive expanded what you can put on the air? It must have been massive.
We're still in the process of digitizing some of that, and that's one of a key component of our student interns who are assisting us in that particular effort, but it is still an ongoing effort. We have, however, received a grant assistance from WGBH and the Library of Congress. They are helping to digitize special segments of our archival recordings, some of the named DJs who are early on the station. We have quite a few of those particular CDs and programs that will be digitized so that they will forever be available. Once they're digitized to our public, they'll be able to share those particular recordings. At the same time, it'll be for national audiences to listen at their leisure.
Well, I guess that leads to the question, are there any only at KCSM jams that surface because you own the physical media?
Yes, we have some of those particular recordings. I think some of them have been digitized. I think some of them have been played at various times.
You must have tons of interviews with guests that have come through over the years, too, I imagine.
Oh, my goodness, yes. We just had one just a day or so ago with Kristen McBride.
Right, right.
It's too numerous to list all of the featured guests. We want to be able to provide opportunities for musicians who are coming through the area, those musicians who are not so well-known, others who are well-known, and we want to be able to provide a platform and an opportunity for those particular musicians to really present their particular musical contribution to listening audience of KCSM.
All right. Well, let's play another clip from the documentary. This one is titled What Jazz Is. Robert, can you tee up the following clip and how the film approaches that big question, what jazz is.
That's a huge question.
I'm going to let you handle that one.
I will imagine that there are quite a few people who have different definitions of what jazz is, but that's the beauty of jazz. Jazz is what it is to the individual person. We don't try to establish the true definition or the quintessential definition of what jazz is. It is the most beautiful music that you'll ever hear. It is the most storied music that you'd want to hear. And you'll hear the announcers. They won't try to define it. They'll just basically say, it's a feeling. It is what you might be feeling on that particular day. So it's ambiguous at best in terms of the definition of what jazz is.
Well, let's listen to it now. This is a clip from the documentary on KCSM. It's called What Jazz Is. We'll talk some more with Robert on the other side of it. You're listening to Backstage Bay Area.
You know, jazz started out as a dance music. You know, it was at the 4/4. You know, it's really music for your feet, music for people.
I would describe jazz as a crystallization of Black expression.
I look at jazz musicians and what jazz represents to African Americans, and it's profound. I mean, we are jazz, and it's an African American experience, which is still transforming, growing, moving. And that's what I like about jazz, because it shouldn't be static.
Art Blakey used to say that jazz flows from the creator, through the musician, to the audience, and then back again to the creator. And whether I'm on stage or I'm in the audience, that connection is real. And I think it's one of the things music in general has, but jazz in particular really, really has.
Jazz is beyond category.
Jazz is a language. The interplay and the communication that happens on the stage between these musicians is this intuitive sound. You know, it speaks to you. It says something.
This is Backstage Bay Area. I'm Steve Roby, and we just heard What Jazz Is from the KCSM documentary. Dr. Robert Franklin, the station's manager, is my guest today. Robert, how does KCSM navigate the what counts as jazz debate in daily programming, especially with younger artists coming up and adjacent genres to jazz? Now, that must be difficult.
Yeah, very much so, Steve. We don't attempt to answer that debate question. Our curators allow the music to be the messenger and allow the listeners to arrive at their own conclusion or answer about what counts or what constitutes jazz. We do know that listeners love our jazz presentation, and they've loved it for decades. So in terms of the boundaries, we set no boundaries for our particular announcers, nor do we determine or try to determine what jazz is. We do jazz, and obviously our definition of how we do jazz has been acceptable for the last 60 plus years. So I am happy that we keep our listeners coming back, and the debate that you're mentioning will be ongoing. But rest assured that one of the things that we will always do is to give our audience a great presentation of jazz.
All right. You must be doing something right. How does the donor community shape the station's future?
The donor community, Steve, continues to be the financial bedrock to the operational foundation of KCSM. We could not be where we are today without the foundational support that our community provides us. And the challenge that public broadcasting is facing today makes it even more critical that we continue to remain the most relevant presenter of jazz on the radio dial. And we plan to do that. And we want to continue to reach out to our public for their support. So it's been a collaborative effort, a positive one over the years, even in the challenging times that we are experiencing today. Our listener support and our community support has never been stronger. And we anticipate maintaining that strength and commitment from our community.
Let's briefly talk about some of the students you have working there at this station. What are they working on today, and how is technology changing how KCSM serves its listeners?
Well, the technological change is happening so quickly. Our students are working on digitizing, as I referenced earlier, digitizing some of our massive library resources, content that we have there. We are also having our students work on a new project, which we're incorporating new technology called Studio 91. Mm. That's a live in-studio production that will be featuring local, regional, and national jazz performers. In this live studio session, our students will be doing videotaping. They will be doing editing. They will be posting, doing post-production. Wow. They will also be setting up and striking the sets within the studio. We think this is a crucial experience for our students because it's teaching our students to be certainly production staff. At the same time, they're learning executive producing skills, editing skills. And we are believing that it is this type of experience that goes hand in glove with the public service outreach that we at the College of San Mateo seek with our students. You mentioned earlier, transition, the linkages. College of San Mateo expresses an educational desire for our students. Whenever we have the opportunity to incorporate educational opportunities for our students who are working at the radio station, we quickly jump on those particular opportunities because we want our students to get the educational piece at the same time, the cultural piece at the same time, the technical piece. So we're giving them the full scope of the experience that the College of San Mateo seeks to have our students acquire during their matriculation through the college.
What a fantastic opportunity for them. That's great. Well, let's play the last clip on today's show from the documentary. This one is titled The Staff at KCSM. Could you please introduce this clip, who we're hearing from and what their stories tell about a culture of the place?
Rochelle Rabin will be the first voice that you will hear. Rochelle is also a former student who has come back and she hosts a Sunday morning cup of jazz on KCSM. The next voice you will hear will be Harry Duncan, who produces a program on Sunday evenings called From the Soul Kitchen, I believe, if I got that right. And you'll also hear the third voice. You'll hear Rochelle, who will also come back and have a comment. The next voice after Rochelle, you'll hear Clifford Brown Jr., who hosts a program on Sunday. And after Clifford, you will hear Jane Pettingill, who hosts a morning cup of jazz show. Then you'll hear, after Jane, Leslie Stovall, who produced a program called Jazz Oasis and The Sweet Spot. Of course, unfortunately, Leslie passed away some months ago. And after Leslie's voice, you will hear the legendary Sonny Buxton, who recently retired from the station. He hosted a show on Saturday. And you'll also hear, after Sonny, Chris Cortez, who hosts our midday jazz program. And then concluding the set, you'll hear again Rochelle Rabin, who will have started the clip.
You're listening to Backstage Bay Area, and I'm speaking with Dr. Franklin. We'll talk more on the other side of this clip.
I think the jazz is kept alive by the people who work here and care so much about the music in the station. Most of the announcers are musicians. They play jazz. They love jazz.
Dick's a musician. Chris Cortez is a musician. Ron Pelletier. Jane Pettingill, she's a reed player. Sonny Buxton used to run a jazz club and promote jazz shows.
Some of them have played with the different artists. It's incredible that that love of the music and sharing that just brings a depth to it. It makes it into a living, breathing thing for you.
The current air staff at KCSM, I can honestly say, is one of the finest that I've gotten to work with in over 50 years of radio. The way the people curate the music makes me want to listen.
I remember Bob Perlocha telling me, yeah, Jane, you're gonna end up dreaming playlists, you know? And sure enough, that started happening like 2 years ago. It's kind of like knitting. You hear about people getting kind of addicted to knitting. I feel that way about playlists.
I'm turning myself into a curator. Because I think jazz really needs documentation at this point, because a lot of the people are no longer with us.
I think we all love the music. I don't know of anyone working there who does not love the music. It's not as though we're all getting rich working there in jazz radio.
And the people, since I started here over half my life ago, it feels like family.
There's a little piece of me that belongs here, I feel. The music fills something up in me that I didn't know before I started working here. Being a part of the team and contributing to what we're doing here fills me up in a way. It feels like a
a home I didn't know I had missed.
You're with Backstage Bay Area. That was the staff at KCSM. Another clip from the new documentary about KCSM in San Mateo. Dr. Robert Franklin, the station's manager and producer of the film, is our guest today. What would you say binds this staff across the eras?
History, family, camaraderie, and I think most of all, passion. As I've said on many occasions to my staff, either you have passion or you're not. You cannot fake passion. One of the things that I know our listeners know about our curators, and that is they are passionate about this music. Mm. That is the one single point that binds all of them together. The passion, which translates into love, into translates into commitment for the product that they have been producing all these wonderful years at KCSM.
What does the next decade look like for KCSM in sound and community impact and how people discover the station?
With respect to sound, we promise to keep jazz and jazz music alive and on the air at KCSM. For our communities, working even more collaboratively with them due to our funding cuts and continuing to tell KCSM's remarkable story, its remarkable journey to the people of the Bay community and to communities around the world.
When people walk out of the theater after seeing the documentary KCSM, 60 Years of Broadcasting and Jazz, what do you hope sticks with them? What do you want to have them take away from seeing the film?
I found a nice statement I'd like to read. I think it really summarizes a point there. And I will say, jazz, like public broadcasting, is built on freedom, community, and expression. It comes from voices that weren't always given a microphone and tells stories often missing from textbooks and erased from the broader American narrative. For generations, public radio has helped keep those stories alive, playing music you can't hear on most stations, supporting local artists, and creating a platform for intergenerational connections.
That's beautiful. Robert, we were talking before we went on air. There'll be another opportunity if you miss the screening of it. Could you tell our listeners how they can also see the film online?
Yes, they can go to kcsm.org and just the drop-down box, and you will be able to see the link to the documentary film. There's a small fee associated with it, but it's worth to watch.
All right, Robert, from the bottom of my heart, thank you so much for keeping good radio live and jazz on the radio. We desperately need it in these times, and you do a fantastic job. And thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, Steve. I really appreciate the opportunity. Thank you.
Today's Like It Is program was produced by Backstage Bay Area, located in San Francisco, California. I'm Bob Franklin. I'll be back next week with 30 more minutes of good conversation on another edition of Like It Is.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.